welcome everyone to a very special episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Today we'll be talking about Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS.
Damn, Skippy.
Best game ever. Yes, aren't I right, guys?
Who are we meeting, guys? Go around the table.
Little Mac.
You fucked it
pink
up.
Pink outfit.
Keba. But for my money, though, I'll probably have to go with Squirtle.
Squirtle?
Squirrel's not in Smash.
What?
Yo, Squirtle!
Yo, Squirtle, where you at?
Yo, Evan, what you doing? What you meaning?
Right now, Robin.
Robin? Yep. I'm Yoshi. Ichi.
Dee dee dee!
I said it.
Shut up.
Right now, it's a throw between my old mains, Toon Link Kirby. I also really like the Mii Swordy. Bowser Jr. recently conquered my heart.
Yeah, I'd throw up Toon Link, too.
I'm trying really hard to be good at the Mii Swordy.
We're a Smash Bros. Podcast.
Yeah, what the fuck did you click?
Yeah.
This is Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. Cue the roll call!
We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Cho Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ishida's Azeel!
Respecting the source material! Green Caster, Zenshi! Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud! Pink Caster, Lightred!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger! On air!
Alright, episode 27. Today we're going to super speed our
way. Time's dead!
Spoilers!
No, Paul.
Spoilers.
No, Paul.
Everybody died.
He's fucking mine. He lives in the sun. We've established this.
Yes, but the show's over. Now I don't have any more Gaim to watch.
Now you have Drive to look forward to. Cars!
Poppy,
yeah!
Poppycock, I'm on episode 20 again.
I have someone coming over next weekend. We're going to marathon the entire show.
Yeah, I'm rewatching it with my friend who is watching it for the first time.
I know, that's what I'm doing.
I get to sit there and be Sagara.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part of rewatching Gaim, sitting there with a newcomer and just being like, yes, yes, I also like that character. Yes! Enjoy them while you can. Also someone who's never seen anything of Urobuchi's.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Yeah, that's...
Well, then.
Double threat.
At least going into this, I knew generally what to expect, having
funny.
Seen a few things.
You know what's the most guys. Funny? You know what's because the most fun part of the whole thing? Watching it with a Game of Thrones fan?
It's so funny, though, because I get to watch, like... The longest lasting heartbreak occurred because he's all like, my favorite character definitely gotta be Kaido. And it was like, good.
Yeah.
Let the hate flow through
you.
Yeah. On the plus side,
the butthurt flow through you.
We need to run like Google Translate and find Urobuchi's Twitter. I hear he says very colorful things.
Oh, yeah. On the plus side, at least Kaido lasts longer than most others.
Yeah.
Second to last episode.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, the guy finale happened.
Just so we can focus on it, should we maybe speed through Tokyuja first real quick?
Reshu Sentai Tokyuja!
Yeah.
Tokyuja
yeah.
Fucking
guys,
blew
what did we
this
think
week.
Of Tokyuja? Guys, what did we think of Tokyuja?
It
fucking sucks!
Okay,
baby fucking bird,
I'm gonna
what?
I'm gonna express line the shit. Wig Shadow is stupid. Its powers put wigs on the Rangers' heads with baby birds in it, and they have to take
their
care of them
helmets
to die.
Wore wigs with little crown thingies.
And the helmet and the wigs were still on their heads when they untransformed and transformed back. And
okay,
then they gave them names. One was Ichinojo. It was the place where he will not die.
We can at least admit that the best part of the episode was Akira again, because seeing Akira just do anything is always funny and awesome.
Also, the way they pull off this stupid Siamese hyper Tokyuja bullshit is one stands in the way as the train is coming from the side. This opens up scary and stupid possibilities.
And call, also, the driver must be trained!
Yes! Somewhere near the end of the show, they're all five gonna do that.
No, and the wig shadow.
General Schwartz should do this.
And
just jump in the way.
Schwartz
the dumbest
would be part.
Part
of this
the dumbest.
For some reason.
The dumbest part of this entire episode, though, was just they all of a sudden grew into chickens.
And
no,
like,
no, that was the best part.
That was the best
just
part.
Just because, how did we fuck up the enemy? We fucking Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, Cuckoo attack.
Fucking Legend of Zelda all the way.
Just
fucking angry chicken swarm pin.
No, no, that was cool. But...
My 100%.
And then they run angry chickens that run as fast as the fucking train.
Yeah, here's like the worst part about... was that they ran no, so fast.
Here's the problem with that power is that. He can make anyone have that happen to them, and then it's a matter of, if you don't take care of it, it dies, and therefore you die. The drawback to this power is that if you succeed in taking care of your chicken, the
chicken
they will
kick
return to
ass.
Me to kick my ass.
And I had a thought while once that happened, and he's like, no one was ever able to take care of the chicks, and I'm just thinking... Shit, that means he actually succeeded in killing some people with this power.
Yeah.
I give you wig. It has a baby chicken in it.
If it dies, you die.
If this baby chicken dies, you die.
Also, Cogger made a
and
cake
then it
and, broke,
and it
broke and
then...
The
nest
oh, and
oh, oh yeah, the supply.
No, no, no.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard!
No, no, so...
Yes!
Kaga... No, so...
Let the stupid flow through you.
Here's a subplot. So apparently it was Mio's birthday.
So cute.
And Kaga was like, oh, I want to bake a cake for Mio's birthday, because, you know, I want to do it. So she makes one, and then they eat
Paul
and they're
is
like...
in the fetal position,
they're
just
like,
saying.
Okay, the look of the cake's nice, but there's no taste to it. And she's like, oh, okay.
Oh, it had a taste, all right.
So, me and Ichi thought the exact same fucking thing. She went to go to, like, a bakery to go learn how to make it, and we were just like, oh, she should have gone to Charmin. Learn from Oren. That would have made a fucking...
She
wanted to go to Charmin.
She
wanted to go to Charmin back in the Gatai special.
But anyways...
There are already a number of stations past the water.
Guys,
we've established
she makes
this.
A cake. It gets accidentally broken by the shadow.
And she finally goes all Psycho Girl, which we haven't seen in forever, actually.
Yeah, that was actually... Seeing her, like, super pissed off, that was cool.
No, that was the thing at the beginning of the freaking episode when she goes to make the cake. And she's just like, I'm a patissier. I pretends to be a patissier. And I was like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Odenga!
I made a cake because I suddenly randomly know how to do that.
But this was a kind of a cute, like, this was a kind of a cute moment, but, like, she, they surprise her with the party or whatever like that, and she's like, oh, yeah, I made this cake for you, sorry, it's wrecked, and then Mio's, like, looking at, oh, that's okay. The fact that you made it, that's all that matters.
No, here's the thing that bugs me the most about this episode. She goes to a shop where cakes are made and sold, and basically gets this woman somehow convinces her to not only give her a cake for free, but to watch her make it. To spend the time to watch her make it.
Yeah.
Where the fuck does the wig monster with the fucking chickens fit in to this fucking story about cake?
It doesn't.
If a person,
it just fucks her cake up. She gets pissed and
kills it. If a person came up to me and was like, Lane, I want you to teach me everything... about how to wash dishes. I'd be like, let me show you my ways.
No, but the difference is, if you sold clean dishes,
what
would you tell someone else for free how to clean dishes?
What happened was the subplot allowed Kagura to not be attacked by that attack in the first
place.
Yeah.
The attack was pretty awesome.
The point of the subplot was so she didn't get a chicken on her head.
All I know is when
she wasn't a chicken head.
All I know is when I do my 100% watch through of Tokyuger before this series is over, I'm going to... One of you will be dead!
And I will film...
One of you will be dead!
Probably me.
And I won't be there!
Cast your votes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we're doing an online poll.
But
who's
no.
gonna die from my psychotic rage?
But no, the highlight of this episode, in my opinion, was they, like, you know, had a thing, like, feelings for these chicks that they raised, whatever like that. So at the end, like, Conductor and Wagon come out, they're like, oh yeah, we made a special treat for you guys for the party! Roast chicken! You just see Akira's face like,
Ichi no Jo!
Oh, no!
Oh yeah, they named them, and Akira's was named Ichi no Jo.
I really just want to walk into a wall just head first a whole bunch of times.
You mean like Akira did a few episodes ago?
I don't...
just derping his shit?
Herping his derp like, yeah. I made that the thumbnail for that episode.
Anyways, next week's episode.
Are you jizzing in despair?
No, I'm having a fucking Tokyuger related breakdown.
Tokyuger meltdown.
I thought it was a Tokyuger related orgasm.
Tokyuger meltdown.
No. Anyways, next week's episode should be interesting because we get to meet the president of the Rainbow Line. And why does he look kawaii as the fuck?
I'm bunny rabbit.
He's a bunny rabbit. Yeah. Anyways.
That's what I think of Tokyo.
Let's.
Anyways, that train's
let's
dead
move on
and buried.
To the important shit.
Kamen Rider Gundam.
Alright, so before we move into the Kamen Rider Gaim series finale, I thought it'd be a cool way just for any newcomers or anybody just out there who isn't clear, just give each of us give our thoughts on what we think about Gaim as a whole, and what about it's really, really appealed to us. For example, I like Gaim because it's got really, really high, it's got high-end themes, like it's got high-reaching themes for a show for 11-year-olds, and it never really speaks down to its audience, and I really, really like that about it. And I just thought maybe we should go around and maybe go over what specifically we like about the show. So, who wants to...
We'll do it in Sentai order, I guess.
Order. All right.
Raven?
Well, frankly, I just think Gaim's a really well-written series, and just as a whole. It's well done, the characters were likable, the storyline was surprisingly deep at times,
mm-hmm.
and just, yeah, honestly, I never thought I'd get that much into the whole fruit theme
thing. None of us
did. And yet, here we are!
Insert screenshot of Lane's Lockseed collection.
Yeah,
I can do that
thing.
That'll be the thumbnail.
Currently 62.
Jeez.
Your screenshot is now the thumbnail of the episode.
All right. 62 lock seeds and 63
and counting.
SH figure arts.
It's like, and counting, because you still have to get fucking Black Apple.
I cannot wait for the dark. And Yomi.
And Yomi.
And they recently, and I'm fucking so glad they did this, I knew they would, they are releasing an Armored Rider lock seed set consisting of the Gaim lock seed, the Baron.
With different sounds,
yeah,
apparently.
Ryugen and Zangetsu. And I shat bricks. I never felt so excited for something in a long time. Like, oh my god.
I'm disappointed it's just the four of them and not the rest.
If they sell enough,
probably.
Maybe they probably
no,
will make the others.
Says.
Oh, really?
The friggin' Baron one says Knight of Banana.
Yes!
Banana.
Awesome. Right. I can't wait for those scenes. Anyways.
Yeah, no, that was pretty much a quick summary of why I like it. Also, I just really generally like Urobuchi's writing in the first place, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a plus going into this.
Come for the butchery, stay for the fruit.
Damn straight.
Yeah, I'm sure none of this is no surprise to you, anyone here, but I really enjoyed the rider system itself, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much mostly the same reasons that it was a surprisingly deep and well-written Kamen Rider series, especially given how Neo Heisei has been the last few years.
Commercials!
Yeah, Forze!
Buy our shit!
Buy our belts! Buy our belts!
They don't keep your pants up! Buy our belts.
Anyways, it was a well written show. It had a lot of really interesting characters for a lot of different reasons. I'm gonna go ahead and say that beyond the checkered flag, my favorite character remains Kureshima Mitsuzane. I maintain he was the most dynamic character in the show. He changed a lot, and there was a lot to substantiate his character development. I thought it was really interesting watching him go from mindset to mindset as the series progressed, and I'm looking forward to the movie, which will be the last piece of the puzzle in this weird canon we've established here.
Well, and there's the Drive Guy movie as well.
Oh yeah, the movie awards will be happening eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's it for me.
Who's next?
Cole.
Me?
You?
All right. Well, Gaim, to me, is probably the best Kamen Rider series I've ever seen. It's probably the best tokusatsu series I've ever seen.
Hmm.
It is probably the best show for 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds that I have ever seen. It's one of the only shows that can be so unimaginably for kids to have these silly, like, you know, carbon fiber and leotard, outfits for these super-powered heroes that just fight the on these crazy, crazy scales. But it's a kid's show. But it's this little kid's show about a bunch of... forgive the thing, just like, you know, teenagers with attitude who get magical fruit locks that turn them into super soldiers that fight monsters. But it involves high-end Judeo-Christian imagery.
With a little bit of Norse thrown in.
Yes. George R. R. Martin level plot twists and turns and, you know, like, character connivingness.
And, yeah.
And villains that never stop being villains. Good guys that sometimes become villains. And just complex characters everywhere.
It's like, and vice versa, villains that become good guys.
Yes, but no one's ever too complex for a kid to understand. No one ever transcends those same archetypes. There's no one with motives in that show that would be beyond what a kid could comprehend at that age. Like, I mean, we're talking about 12, 13-year-old boys and girls and stuff like that. They can, even Michi's rather complex motivations, they can comprehend at least to a certain degree at that age. And to throw them such complex ideas and such complex plots and such complex integrated characters in such a simple show, I think is incredibly respectable. It's one of the best written shows I've seen come out of Japan, and it's just fantastic. I love it. It's great. Keva?
I think that Gaim, as I've put it, is perfect in a very rose-colored glasses kind of way. I just think that if you're willing to take the aspects of a show like this where every single time you try and put it into the light of something as well written as it is, one point or another may be very appropriately combated by it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of those shows that does its damnedest without even trying to be very thematic, like just having these heavy, darker, more serious tones to it,
mm-hmm.
to be just brushed away with something like, but it's a kid's show though. There are certain things that, like, speaking from a technical standpoint or a mechanical standpoint, just very, yeah, no, it's a kid show, but I just mean as far as, like, relationships between characters. There's been indiscrepancies where you just kind of go, but this, and you go, but a kid show. While that is true, it's just so hard when you're like, yeah, but it's this show.
A lot of the moments in this show can be summed up with the words kids show, but it depends on the punctuation. Like, you know, there's kids show, but then there's kids show ... moments.
The thing is, I think because the show is so well written, it deserves to have a better answer than it's a kids show to any of its questions.
That's what I mean, but I mean, but at the same time, it's not. It's just a kids show.
That's the answer we're going to have to resign to.
The way I see it is, it's a really, really, really great show that in a lot of ways can stand its own amongst regular shows for adults of its kind. Like, you know, just of today. But with the technical flubs and stuff like that, and the inconsistencies that we can always just say it's a kid's show and just sort of continue.
But that's what I mean by it's perfect, because everything that we would expect of it as adults was delivered, and anything that was too, can I brush that under the rug, can be. Because you allow it to be,
it's a kid's show.
It's a kid's show. This wasn't even made for me in the first place. I just happen to be enjoying the crap out of how well it's done.
I'm just sitting here enjoying the ride. Who am I to nitpick?
But that's just it, which is why I've referred to it as perfect. Just because it's any indiscrepancies that exist can be modestly brushed under the carpet. I think, anyway.
Aside from a few issues I have in terms of the pacing and how it was structured, I agree.
That's fair. I feel like it sped up and slowed down in one wrong place or another.
Yeah.
But the characters were exquisite. It always kind of left you guessing and changing and growing with the characters to kind of like...
You couldn't always call it.
Whoever your favorite characters may have been at the beginning, some of them may have changed, some may remain the same, but you don't have the same team you picked out in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you always found yourself rooting for different people for different reasons. Like you say, it was the great, powerful society of anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the League of Anti-Heroes all fighting for their ambition. in what we would perceive to be good and evil.
It's Kamen Rider Shades of Grey.
Sure. That's a weird way of putting it, but I understand, I guess.
I'm going with the original expression, Shades of Grey, not the actual...
Good.
...what you're thinking about, because Kamen Rider BDSM, while interesting, and I totally direct it, is not what we're talking about right now. Although that is an idea for later BDSM-themed Kamen Rider.
It's already fanfic.
Adaptation is easier than original concept. Anyways, Lane, are you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good, Lane.
Well, not being, like, I'd see it differently the way you guys do, because, like, you guys are more, like, I know it's going to be weird to say, but, like, you guys are a bit more intelligent than I am when it comes to, like, how you view a show.
The word you're looking for is analytical.
Yeah, you guys are more analytical about it than I am. Me, like, I'm different with how writers are, like, Gaim, it was a great series. I loved it all the way through. In the beginning, I saw the whole fruit thing, and I was like, okay, that's weird. And then when I saw, like, the writers at the press conference all in a row, I'm like, okay, the green purplish one with based off grapes, he looks like he'll be cool. I like him.
Thinking back, why the fuck was Grid on there?
Yeah, so, and that's another thing. Like, they made Gridon think that, like, it was gonna be main writer, and then when I finally saw a girl on the show, I was like, oh, sweet, he's gonna be main... No, he's, like, one of the shittiest writers in the whole fucking show. And so going in, I thought, okay, I'll like Michi. Michi's gonna be my favorite character. And then it went from Michi to Yoko to Koda to Takatora, and then finally, by the end of the series, just Kaido was amazing. And now, if I rewatch Gaim, which I hope to rewatch Gaim...
Well, join us next Saturday.
I will watch. I will see all how much Kaido's grown throughout the show, and it'll be awesome. But it was a great, like, I don't. It is a great show. I don't like
detract from it.
No, I don't detract from it. I like to see series that, like, writers should always be different every year. Like, there shouldn't always. I don't expect to have a super dark, serious show like Gaim every single year for every writer. There's always going to be different ways how they do it. So, and then, this year they decided to go a more serious, darker approach. For Drive, it's going to be. They'll try to have some serious stuff, but I feel like it's going to be a more fun series with a more, you know.
Cut to bright, shot of explosions across the country.
Yes. So they're going to try and make it serious, but they're also going to bring a brighter, they'll have a brighter cast, bright cast of characters. That's going to make it fun, and like the belt talks, and emotes, and stuff, and it's cool. But overall, like, yes, Gaim was a great show. I may not be able to see it, like, the same way you guys do, as, like, this perfection, which, but, because my favorite show still today is Decade, because, you know.
And I still don't understand how that ending.
We've talked about this plenty.
I know. But overall, yes, Gaim was a great series. I would rewatch it again. I will always think of it as one of the best Kamen Rider shows that we've had in a while. But I still love Forze, and still always will love Forze.
You're a decade, the show that's literally about the journey and not the destination.
Yeah, exactly.
What destination? There was none.
Destination was a... Dien's gun to his face.
Yeah, no, that...
And then
they were... Okay.
No, okay, we...
He was dead.
Anyways, Gaim is really great. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Now on to this last episode.
Dun, 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 dun!
Mixed feelings!
Epilogue / movie tie-in!
So apparently it takes place 7 months after, since Koda fucked off to the sun.
And apparently Mars showed up.
No, here's my first question. What, like, did actual Gakusano fuck off or something? Why was it necessary to bring in Keisano?
I don't know. I think that was, like, I think he was God Gaim. God Koda.
But, like, why did... We know for a fact that they brought his twin brother, the actor's twin brother in to do the final episode.
I'll look at this,
but
look
why?
This right now.
Did something happen to Gakusano?
He probably had a thing he needed to do.
I guess.
Because he gained an extremely amount of popularity from this. Just like Forze did with Forze.
Yeah, now he's in fucking everything.
Yep. He's got an incredible amount of personality.
personality, and he really got into his character, and he really...
No, I'm not arguing any of that. I'm just saying, I'm just curious why they needed to bring in his actor. Anyways.
Actor's twin.
Anyways, so the episode goes completely in the opposite direction that we all thought it was going to happen. Turns out that that actor is not Kamen Rider Jam, but it turns out that Kamen Rider Jam is a combination of Kogane, a.k.a. Kamen Rider Mars from the movie, and some random human girl he takes possession of, and then the locust thing from episode 37 is back, and they team up and just wreck face.
Now, you guys seemed a little surprised about that. I kind of went, this is an out-of-place villain. When I saw episode 37, I kind of went, this is a really out-of-place villain that Sagara seems to know something about, but no one else seems to know anything about. They seem to be disconnected from everyone else.
But the point was...
Endgame.
The point was, though, at that moment in time, we knew that episode was tying into the movie, and we haven't seen the movie, so I think we all just assumed that that was a villain for the movie.
And it was.
And had no reason to assume it had anything to do with Endgame.
Yeah.
Well, Endgame for the show and the fact that this is the final episode and
well,
it's a tie-in for the movie, but yeah, in the end, this was all tied in with the storyline for the show.
Yeah, the thing is, we don't know if that locust monster is even in the movie.
Fair point.
Who cares? The person that controls him is.
Yeah.
The locust monster isn't the point. The locust monster is just a really, 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 really powerful invest kind of thing. The point is the thing that's controlling it.
We don't even know what it is, if it even is an invest or whatever. Anyways, that's beside the point. One of my favorite scenes is right up front of the episode. We see Takatora on a date or something with Koda's sister, Sailor Mercury. And then Oren shows up, and I'm like, hey, you finally got to meet your melon! Yay!
And she's on a he's on a heterosexual date.
Damn!
With Koda's sister!
With Sailor Mercury.
Man, in your memory, I'm gonna bang your sister.
And I owe you
for everything you've done for me, and for everything you've done for our planet and species. I'ma fuck your sister. I'ma make her feel good tonight.
I sat there and I went, I'm okay with this. Like, I owe your brother a great debt. I will do that. I will pay this back by taking care of you for the rest of my life.
With my dick. My dick.
Okay, just quick notes. So I looked up about Kusano's twin brother. So. Apparently, he was previously rumored to portray Comrade Jam, but that was proven false, so apparently nothing to do with it. Apparently, he lives in Canada!
What?
Yeah!
Where?
Doesn't say, but he lives in Canada.
That's cool. I want to go up to that guy and ask if I can give his brother a hug.
Just like, you're the closest thing to Koda I'm going to be able to see.
Can I give
Koda
a hug? Can I give Koda a hug vicariously through you? I'm not creepy, whatever.
Can you send a message to God in space?
Can you tell me about how it's all like your stage now? Even though it's your brother's thing.
Watch, wherever he lives, there's going to be Gaim fans, and they'll see him, and they'll be like, holy shit! And they'll be like, no, that was my brother!
Suge!
Sugoina!
Welcome to the Racist Podcast.
No, but yeah, back to the point at hand. Fucking Takatora is gonna take care of, like, Koda's sister, Sailor Mercury, as you stated, with his fucking D!
Yeah.
He's gonna play with her melons.
Give her the final D.
In front of Oren, this guy's a fucking douchebag. This guy takes his buddy's sister on a heterosexual date to the bakery run by the person he knows has a homosexual crush on him and has a heterosexual date with her in front of him while he serves them food.
And then Jonouchi just
made
sits down.
Made by Jonouchi.
Yeah, and then
who
Jonouchi
is a
sit down and he's just like
pimp in this episode.
He's like, I made that.
Because Oren was too depressed by seeing that to bake.
It's just hilarious. You see, like, they're complimenting the food, and Jonouchi just comes in, like, completely just strutting around, sits down next to them, and gives the most pompous hair flip backwards as he's like, I'm so glad you're enjoying my work.
Damn!
Jonouchi got balls.
And then he got fucking pimp slapped by Oren. Back to fucking work.
Know your fucking place,
bitch. Come on! Bing!
No, but yeah, that's exactly what happened. Oren was super duper depressed, and he was putting on his best, like, you know, brave face while serving him the pastries. But he couldn't bake because the salt of his tears would oversalt the bakery dough and just like fucking like she he needed to get Jonouchi to do it. He just couldn't bake for his sweet melon and Kota's sister.
I'm honestly just glad that we got that plot point of Oren wants to meet Takatora kind of resolved.
Oh, the other plot point we got resolved.
Yeah.
Fucking Takatora and Jonouchi.
Didn't I? I totally said so, and I never thought they'd actually do it.
And no. We all thought it was going to be like this really, really emotional, hesitant moment.
We thought he was going to pussyfoot around it. No, Takatora just out and fucking told him.
Do you know him?
You know,
oh, yes.
You know Hase.
He's dead.
Oh, yeah, he's dead. He killed him.
No, he literally just stood there just like as though having memorized the case file. Oh, yes, Hase so-and-so.
No, he was there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Hase so-and-so killed by so-and-so.
He turned into an invest and was killed.
I like the fact that he specifically said, according to the subtitles, mind you, he was put down by Yggdrasil.
By great and mighty Yggdrasil, who were always right.
I would love to see that conversation play out differently. Yeah, he was killed by Cid. Where's Cid? He was killed by Roshuro. Fuck!
Where's Roshuro? Killed by Redway.
Where's Redway?
Killed by Kota. This is my Kota's fault!
Where's Kota? He lives in the sun!
In space.
In the sun.
Damn!
He turned into a god now.
I will never exact my revenge!
He sees Kota? Yeah. You're the reason why Hase's dead. Kota's just like...
There. You couldn't save him!
You're right. Kota just goes through this manic depressive self-loathing.
It was me, Dio.
Looks over at Jonouchi, dissolves him.
Well, now I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I'll bring him back to life, but I'll need a person to deconstruct him.
No, just goes to the movie world and brings Hase in there. Hey, you're coming with me. What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now I've killed that person. That person had a family.
But no, the other thing that happens before that scene is they finally address another plot point that I have been bringing up. Yeah, why don't they go get more belts from the Yggdrasil Tower? Oh, apparently according to Takatora, they disposed of them all, so their evil could never be used again.
Again, they even went so far as to say, even if we could, we couldn't.
Because we need a lock seed. And I'm thinking, fair point. Does no one have a lock vehicle? No one?
To go where?
To the world of the Femachine. We don't know for sure if when Kota fucking emigrated Helheim, if that world's Helheim
the
went
way
out.
I see,
but all the
he
plants.
Took it.
No, he
but we don't know. That's my point.
The way I see it, Kota just took the Helheim plants that were infecting Earth.
That's
he
what
took
I was
all
thinking.
Of Helheim's influence on Earth and moved it to another planet.
I think he took it all.
Because
that's what I choose to believe,
but
all right?
But can you possibly fathom how many other worlds Helheim has conquered? There would have been a shit ton more plants than that.
If Sagura could just be easily thwarted by the dude having the golden apple just saying, no, fuck you, he'd have been told no, fuck you the very first time he handed someone a golden apple.
No, but the
clearly not!
The difference is, apparently none of those other civilizations were smart enough. Example A, the Femachine.
They seemed pretty intelligent.
Roshua was intelligent. The rest of them were assholes.
But moving right
intelligent through. Assholes.
Intelliholes, if you will.
I wouldn't.
Neither would I.
For some reason,
I shan't.
For some reason, and this is a complete aside, I want to see like someone take Redue and put the voice of Edith Bunker over her. Just Roshua, come here. I'm making you some pot roast. God damn it, Redue, huh? Pot roast again, huh? The bunker is between Roshua and Redue.
Ew. I love it.
Meanwhile, Gloria is fucking, Dimushu.
No.
Anyways.
I gotta say, even though Jam is a more darkness version of Mars, I still like it.
Technically, it's a dark version of Gaim, because it's the Gaim-based suit.
It's based on rotted fruit.
Okay, but
still Mars. Yeah. It's Gaim-based suit with a mod of Mars's armor.
Okay, well, I still like it. It's cool. I can't wait for that lock seat set to come out.
I'm kind of disappointed by the fact that the chime for Darkness Arms is Ogon no Kaji.
But it sounds fucking dark and corrupted.
Because
cool.
Golden Arms.
Because it's Golden Arms from another world.
Corrupted by darkness. Oh no, I've gone cross-eyed.
Shit, I jammed all this darkness in my goldness.
The one thing I am disappointed about him is that he used just a pink Daidaimaru.
Which doesn't even make sense, because that's the orange weapon.
Doesn't make sense. That's what I said.
I love how even in this episode,
from the beginning.
Even in the episode where so many things are being resolved, there's still plenty of shit that doesn't make sense.
It's a kid's show.
I know, kid right?
Show!
Fuck you. So anyways.
That was a fight.
So
my party blower.
So back to the story. It turns out Takatora, for contingency's sake, because he's a genius motherfucker, saved one last Kurokage belt, and Jonouchi steals it. To atone for his own sins, because everyone has sins.
Atone for my pine cone.
Meanwhile, so, Michi has had a belt and a lock seed all along.
All along.
No one ever broke him.
And then Jonouchi's just like, I'm using this in Hase's memory. Fuck you, Kuro's Makuri arms.
Yeah, he becomes a Kurokage trooper. Completely legit.
I don't want to, but I might get the Kurokage figure arts, even though it's exclusive, just because...
I'll just give you my arms change.
No, I don't like arms change.
Okay,
figures.
Whatever.
I might get the figure arts. First, I'm getting Kachidoki, though. Anyways. But it was cool seeing him fight. He did. Got his ass whooped, of course. And then it's like, oh no, all hope is lost. And then all of a sudden, Michi's like, hey, I guess still got some belt.
I'm a protagonist.
And he transforms. And then he like looks like he's about to fight with martial arts. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. Then you just see him the next scene gets rolled around. Oh, no, he has his gun.
Oh, no, there he is.
Posing.
So then,
he
proceeds to get his ass kicked, and then he's like, oh no, all hope is lost, and then all of a sudden, Golden God Kona comes in,
no.
Destroys the locust monster with like a golden fruit attack, which is fucking cool.
Koda
yeah,
the good witch comes down from the Gilkin lands in order to make sure that Dorothy and her friends are alright after crushing the wicked witch.
Wait, so Michi's Dorothy?
Yes.
Michi is Dorothy. And Takatora is Toto. Takatoto.
And
Michi clicks his heels and goes, I have no home. I have no home.
I have no friends. I have no home. My life is meaningless.
So Koda's like, oh, Michi, we're still friends. We can do anything if we work together. And then he transforms again, and then...
And then Goku and Vegeta beat Frieza.
No, and then Koda, just instantly transforms into Kiwami, and I'm like...
He's, like, in the Disney Prince outfit that reeks of Kiwami plus Matsubo Curry.
For the last time, it is a rehash of fucking Chiba Mamoru's final character design from Sailor Moon live action.
Yes,
it's Balmung.
You know what?
They're all the same goddamn design!
I accept this.
Right?
Just stick some wings on them.
Right?
They're all the same design!
It's the same thing!
So as they're fighting, you see Koda decide, hey, you know what? Stop using your fucking gun. Take my Daidaimaru.
You're shitty at gun. Here, take sword.
Yeah, so it throws up his Daidaimaru.
I don't need it.
But we do see Ryugen dual wield the Daidaimaru and the Buddha Ryuho, which is pretty sweet.
And by
dual
wield, you mean use the Daidaimaru to block projectiles.
And please... We're never going to ever see this, but I wish he'd use something other than Budo Squash.
Nope, not happening.
I don't think he ever did.
No, he just used Budo Squash, that's it.
He'll do it in the movie, which is an alternate canon, and not the canon that doesn't use anything but a Budo Squash.
Oh, yeah, that's also a disappointing thing for, these guys. We never saw Gaim Jimba Melon.
Yeah!
Gaim Drive movie.
The form that never was.
Gaim Drive movie. We'll see.
I don't think so.
It would have just been an
upgrade. I would like to see it.
It would have just been
movie.
An upgrade to Lemon.
No, the idea was each of the Jinbe forms had
defense.
A different power.
Melon would have been defense.
That's what I'm thinking. It would have been.
What's
because you know Melon had the shield.
Is they put it on the Jinbe as
the
a figure.
And the arms change.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. It's just one set of armor. It's like the it's like the Dino
system. And with the toys, you can
do it.
Is it
like a Rolodex?
Yeah, it spins and you choose whichever one you want, and
yeah.
That one opens. It's like the Dino system.
Yeah.
This
was fruitfully silly.
Koda and Michi beat the crap out of stuff and things that happen, and Jam dies.
And Kaido haunts a tree.
Kaido haunts a tree.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Kaido's
Koda's just like, bye, okay, I'm going back to the sun, bye Michi, by the way, I'm fucking bye.
She's tighter than you could have ever imagined. Bye.
Made further so by the powers of the golden fruit.
Oh.
She's juicy.
Supple and juicy every night.
She's golden.
Stick
delicious.
That golden apple in your
eye. There will be no goldenness coming from the supple.
I wish we had face
juicy.
Cams right now because the look on Kevin's face is priceless.
Oh, by the way, there was one other scene, like, in the middle of the fight where, like, Michi's about to beat Jam, but she dehensions, and he's like, I'm capturing a human body of a girl. What you gonna do? You can't hurt me, because you have to atone for some... I don't know how I know this, but that's a thing.
I kind of would have liked to have
like,
seen
I'm a villain, you're one of the good guys, you can't hurt me.
I kind of would have liked to have had him, like, stand there
yeah.
and just be like, Kota was the one who wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it's like, Kaito. Excuse me, how much evil shit have I done this series? Pulse trigger.
If there is one thing
also, alternate choices, shoot belt, remove lock seed, anything to that effect? No?
Okay,
just surrender.
Also, it's funny because earlier in the episode, Michi, like, he's watching all V-Riders dance, whatever, and so then they're all like, this is 7 months after since Kota fucked off. And, I just like to think that's like an everyday thing where he just watches them dance and then they're like, Michi, come dance with us. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. Okay. Same time tomorrow. Right?
Yeah. Like every day they're like, come dance with us. And he's like, you guys.
Come dance with us, Michi, forever and ever and ever.
No, but I had an issue with that. Like I said, Kota... I could have imagined Michi saying, Kota was the sort of person who would have hesitated at that. Kaito might have hesitated at that. Almost every other beat writer probably would hesitate at that. I've done so much, I pretty much know where I'm going when I die. So you know what? What's one more?
There's a lot of red in my ledger.
I know I gotta wipe off a lot of it, but one more is not gonna hurt.
No, but Kaido wouldn't have
not
danced
for
anyway
all
because
the, right reasons.
The only reason Kaido was dancing at all was because that was the most popular way of gaining power at the time. And then once that was irrelevant, once the belt came into play, he was like, fuck dancing. Dancing's stupid.
Fuck dancing. I'm
dancing's,
a Kamen Rider.
Dancing's for the weak.
I just realized who Kaito is.
Who?
Oh.
He's Kamishiro Tsurugi. He is the man who will stand at the top of street dancing. He is the man who will stand at the top of conquering Helheim.
He is the man who will stand
at the top of the world.
He is the man who will stand at the top of haunting trees.
Yeah, but at least he's not a dirt piece of shit.
Hey, fuck you.
Fuck you, Tsurugi's awesome.
No, also Tsurugi. A dirt piece of shit.
Yeah,
he's the one who will stand at the top of descending into hell.
He is the one who will stand at the top of mental disability.
He's the man who will stand at the top of waiting in line.
Spoilers, he was a worm.
You fucker.
Those are big spoilers, man.
Anyway,
spoilers, he saves the world.
Overall...
That thing where we did the friggin' Rider Month, I just...
Overall, in my opinion,
as my favorite
it was an okay finale, but now this has actually made me more interested in watching the movie because now the movie may actually be canon Kota remembers everything that happened in the movie, apparently, because he talked to Jam.
Because Series Kota did go to the movie world because he was the one who became Gaimyami.
Yeah, but then where the fuck was movie Kota?
In somewhere else? I don't know. We haven't seen the movie yet.
Weird. Anyway.
Something else at the time.
We'll do a podcast episode.
He was busy playing soccer.
We'll do a podcast episode on the movie or it'll be a topic. So don't worry.
Marbles. Imagine if there's like a world where marbles is the thing.
Or Pogs.
We're playing Pogs for the golden apple.
Or maybe they play Smash Bros. In the world.
Oh my god! Oh! The golden apple's a slammer!
Kamen Rider Gaim
really
Smash
nice
Brothers.
One.
3, 2,
make it happen,
1,
Nintendo.
Go shoot!
Beyblade? Sign me up for that
Free
world!
Beyblade!
No, sign...
Also Kamen Rider!
Sign me up for that world, because I still have all of my best Beyblades.
Well, we're already getting Kamen Rider Skylanders, so...
The Kamen Riders are the big beasts.
I'm all for that, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, Kamen Rider Summon Ride is a thing that's happening, and we're totally getting it, because it's for PS4, and PS4 is region-free.
Well,
Kamen Rider Skylanders, woo!
Also, we got Super Climax Heroes back, so expect videos of that.
All of us buy
and by back,
favorites.
We mean on the PC.
Yeah,
all
PC.
Of us buy our favorite rider for the Kamen Skylanders.
Yep.
Forze.
We'll do videos of that.
Kose. Oh, yeah.
What?
They both said Ikoze at once.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. I forgot.
All right.
Anyways, that's the finale.
Yeah, so.
Interesting epilogue slash movie tie-in for a final episode.
Hilarious that we fucking, you know, started this podcast halfway through the fucking
we
show.
We started it at episode 20.
Okay, 20 episodes into the fucking show.
Yeah.
Kind of started it for the beginning.
But now join us for next week where we're all going to just band together again and watch the first episode of Kamen Rider Drive, so I'm excited for that.
And we're going to have a snappy new opening thing for the roll call.
Featuring a very special guest.
Oh, shit.
You mean Barry? I mean Dave?
No.
Oh.
Actually, yeah. He'll probably show up.
What are you talking about?
I meant a special guest in the intro.
The Riders, my God!
Alright, bye guys.
Thanks for listening. As always, you can subscribe to us on our Podbean website, on iTunes, and on the YouTubes as well. Where do you
all those?
Feature topic.
Alright, before we go, favorite lock seeds. Mine is Ichigo lock seed. The strawberry.
You
one.
Can't just put us on the spot like that. There's a lot.
Okay, what's your favorite?
The blah, 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 cherry energy.
Cherry energy? Okay. Paul, favorite lock seed.
Melon?
Okay. Kevin, lock seed.
Golden.
Alright. Raven, lock seed.
Wait, no, mine's silver. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, how Kevin had absolutely no hesitation whatsoever.
That's why he said favorite lockseed. You said you can't put us on the spot, and I said try me.
No.
I forgot about silver. My answer is silver.
I want to change my answer.
See? I told you.
Kiwami.
Okay.
Kachidoki.
Remember twin powers activate.
I know.
Form of a merit.
Wait, does that mean Paul gets to go inside you and access superpowers?
Yeah. No, that means I'm the armor.
Hop on his back!
No! Raven's the armor!
Raven's
you're
the
under armor!
That gets cast off of you.
Get on the Paul's back!
Get on Kiwami's back!
Alright.
Kiwami's back!
Bye, guys!
No! I'm hijacking this goddamn podcast! Guy was fantastic, and I don't want to see it die. All
no!
of you guys should really,
don't
really,
worry,
really,
worry,
really,
Paul.
Really,
we still have two more movies!
Wait, I have the...
Don't worry, Paul. I'm sure, dry, like, very sure.
That was his engine dying. Wait, guys. I have the perfect...
We'll find out.
It's like... Knight Rider, but Fred!
No! Do you want to know something funny? That's what the fucking writers and director of Drive said. They're like, yes, it's Rider meets Knight Rider.
It's Knight
directed
Rider.
By the creator, by the director of Kamen Rider Black.
Knight Kamen Rider.
He did a lot of, he did Sailor Moon live right. action.
It was Urobuchi with these guys, and now it's the director of Black for Drive for Paul.
I have the, okay. I, have
the being, I feel like we have a lot more to look
And the writers of Double.
And the theme song sung by Eternal.
Yeah.
Also,
you guys aren't careful, I'm going to go evil and join Metro Links and snuff out
don't
all
Don't you
tokusatsu.
Dare join Metro Links!
I'll snuff out all Tokusatsu!
Also, Drive, I did a look into it. And, well, when I found out the guy did the writing for... Digimon Cross Wars.
Yeah.
My immediate thought was which episodes? I want to see if he wrote the good half or the bad half.
You mean the bad third?
Yeah, the bad first chunk, and then wow. Yeah, no, he wrote a shit ton of the latter half of the series. So.
Hunters?
No.
Oh, okay,
like
good.
Like actual fucking
okay,
Cross
cool.
Wars.
Anyways, we've talked about this. Okay, now remember what? Remember who wrote Gaim when I send off the series in the perfect way possible. Mommy! It's over!
Yeah,
man.
Bye.